your word this week?
I got a word.
I got a word too. Sneak.
You got a word sneak?
Word sneak. Word sneak.
Borat wasn't your word sneak, was it?
No, what if I just started out with a word?
Hey, you know what feels real good? Being super happy about who your favorite team's college basketball coach is.
Oh gosh. I know we don't believe in karma. You are setting us up for a karmic retribution.
Come on now.
I'm just saying, we don't believe in it. But
I feel so good about our coach.
I do too. I love our coach. I don't care.
Love our coach.
There's nothing that could shake my love for him.
I'm a Barnesy guy. Like
Barnes & Noble.
The other
day. Got myself on that one. little macchiato through the nose.
You about caramel mocked my coffee table.
Caramel mocked. Lee made me a caramel mock.
The other day, I'm watching one of the games from March Madness. Tennessee's on, and Nora is just randomly walking through our living room. She doesn't know anything about college basketball, does not care about college basketball. And I go, hey, Rizzo, check it out.
I know what she said, and I don't see it, but that's funny.
I was like, hey, Rizzo, check it out. Our coach looks like Palpatine. And she just goes, ha! He does.
He does. I don't see it, though.
And then she immediately was like, I'm afraid our defense will be quite operational by the time your friends arrive.
That's right. He does look like he wears makeup, though.
He was like, you want our basketball? Take it!
Dude, that's wild.
Strike me down!
You should make a meme about that.
Oh, dude, I've already made a side-by-side before. It's flawless.
I wonder if he's wearing makeup on the sideline.
Mm. Is he only 115 years old?
He is a little older.
I love him.
I do too. He's awesome.
Fantastic.
He's kind.
Mm-hmm.
He's nothing to hide from.
He loves our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
He's celebrating Holy Week with us.
He is. Do you think he listens to our show?
I wouldn't put it out of mind.
Yeah.
If
they lose on Friday, I think it's probably because Rick Barnes' mind was on
the
cross.
Yeah. Agreed. Do you think Bob Kessling listens to our show?
No, but if he did, I'd give him a lot of tips. Not that I'm... hold on. That needs to be... I need to back up on that. That sounded like I am an expert at his job. I'm not. I'm just saying. There's some obvious things everyone in the world knows that he could do better, and it would make things infinitely better.
Listen, I think the number one thing he needs to do is care about something.
Care and tell me the score, the down and the distance, and the time at least once.
Do you think Bob enjoys anything? Like, he doesn't sound, like, when you listen to him, it doesn't sound like he enjoys anything. Okay, can I ask you a serious question? This is a real, actual serious question that I actually had the thought of the other day.
Yeah.
You love being a pastor, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You love being a minister of the gospel.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You love being a young life leader and having kids in your life and leading worship songs up front and preaching. All, you love it all,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You love that this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
If the University of Tennessee called you tomorrow and said, hey, we're going to offer you Bob Kessling's job, but you got to quit your job at Triple C, you'd go in a nanosecond.
I don't think I would do that.
It would quadruple your income, and you would be literally talking about the Vols on air.
Well, okay, so...
he would go. Y'all know he would go.
I don't think I would. But, you know, you can... University of Tennessee employees, or you can look up all their salaries online just because they're government employees.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much work. But for some reason in college, I thought I'm going to look up Bob Kessling's salary.
Okay. So this is 10 years ago?
Dude, that makes, that ages me quite a bit. Yeah, probably.
9 years ago.
Shoot. Okay, go. I'm old, man.
Go. Not old.
And it shocked me a little bit. Hmm. Not as like I thought it'd been higher.
Oh, okay.
Like, and I need to say that with like a...
I'm sure there's a lot.
Hey, like...
I'm sure there's a lot of per diem.
Yeah, but also like, you know, the number I saw would be a staunch upgrade to my lifestyle,
no,
you know?
Question.
But like, no. I was a little bit like...
No question.
I was a little bit like, really?
Yeah, it's not okay. Kirk Street. It's not...
No. And I was a little bit like, okay. You're just content then. You know, like...
He's not making Chris Fowler's salary.
No, and it wasn't even six figures.
But what if you and wow?
I think it was. I mean, it was close, but I was like, yeah. I was a little bit like, oh, and yeah.
What if you and Bob could do it together?
I would. Okay, that would be awesome.
You and Rob Logan, you are play-by-play in color for the University of Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah.
Man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, we'd be like Downey Jr. and Don Cheadle on Iron Man. We would just be in there. What? I'm so bad at this game.
So bad.
Well, which one was it?
Definitely Don Cheadle. Because he's not even the one that Iron Man really plays off.
Here's the problem, though.
Don Cheadle is your word sneak.
I had no shot once you took the steering wheel. Like, I literally was like, oh, I can't wait to ask Lee a question about all of his favorite Marvel movies. And then I was going to say, how the heck did they switch to Don Cheadle for Iron Man 2 and get away with it?
Gosh.
I had it planned, and then you decided to take the reins.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. It's just like, it was just so blatant. It was just like so out of left field for your worst thing. It's like if you were to be like, oh, why doesn't... Why doesn't Rick Barnes wear more lederhosen? You know,
lederhosen was one of our words at one point. And if it has come back around and it is actually yours today, I'll be shocked.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Okay. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast where we ostensibly talk about the scriptures.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. All right.
It is Holy Week.
It is. It is Holy Week, and we're going to get focused. We're going to focus.
We're two pastors
down
in Holy Week right now.
We're having a good time. I actually, I've just been weepy all week. Mm-hmm. Just like, I was listening to the Bach, St. Matthew's Passion this morning as tea rolled into the house.
I was listening to it in my car.
Wow. Do you listen to the American translation, the Bernstein?
I was listening to, that's a great question. I just picked one, to be honest with you.
Bernstein is a person who would never
wear Academy of Ancient Music by Sir Stephen Cleobury, the choir of King's College, Cambridge.
Oh, so was it an English translation or was it German?
Sounds English to me, but
I think that's an English one.
Major note.
Yeah, he ends. Nope, German. It's in German.
No wonder I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah, if you listen to the Bernstein, it's in English.
Well,
also you also know the Gospel of Matthew, so you know what's happening. It's word for
generally,
word.
Yeah.
It's like absolutely word for word.
It's, so it's which just is really straight cool NASB, about. Baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it's whatever German. It was probably the Luther translation
of
the New Testament. But anyway, so we are in Holy Week, and we are remembering all those events. The Palm Sunday was the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then we have the anointing at Bethany by Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We have the Last Supper, the betrayal of Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane, into his trials and into all of those dark hours leading up to the crucifixion, and then the resurrection. This is a huge week for our faith. So would you take us to a moment in this?
Yeah, we're going to go to John 15. This is one of my, well, I think John is, it's probably safe to say he's my favorite gospel author.
Okay.
I'm okay with saying that.
Because of the poetry? You love poetry.
Yeah, and you're
songwriter-y guy.
I think John 1 may be my favorite chapter in the New Testament for a little bit. I mean, as I stand currently.
I was paid to memorize that as a child in the Baptist church.
Wow. Man.
Not by my parents.
I don't know if we're allowed to say this, but yeah, currently it is. There's something about the beginning of that gospel. There's something about the, like, it's very visual to me, and there's something about the
and he hearkens to Genesis. He weaves it to the Hebrew Bible.
It's awesome. I mean, John's authorship is awesome, but I mean the actual relationship development that Jesus has with his first couple guys at the beginning of that is something that's really fascinating to me. I don't know why. I think there's something about the, like, I don't know, just all the little things that happen, the you know, changing Peter's name, the is it Philip who says, or he says, you're going to see greater things than this?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But there's just like a, there's a lot ahead of them. And I really like that.
It's really cool.
They're at the very beginning of it. It's, you know, more so than Matthew, Mark, or Luke, which
yeah, exactly.
Well, outside of the Jesus' birth stories in Matthew and Luke. But I mean, just,
but as Jesus far as what ministry, you're talking about, the development of those relationships.
It's ground zero, and everything's ahead of them. Yeah. And it's, you get to see them grow and change, which I think is really cool. Yeah. And there's themes, I mean, they're in all the Gospels, but I like them. But this may be one of the reasons why, is from John 15. Let me actually start back in John 14. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room having the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And is it Matthew or Luke who tells us that they sing a hymn?
Luke.
So they sing a hymn, which I believe they end the Passover with Psalm 116 through 118, correctly? Or if I'm mistaken.
Yeah, 112 through 118.
112 through 118. Yeah, so
for Passover.
They wrap it up with 118. So if you're like, if you're like, what did they sing? There you go.
Probably Psalm 118.
Yeah, which you talked about that Monday in our staff meeting. I also saw a video about that this week, which was cool. But so they wrap it up, and you know, John 14 ends with Jesus saying, come now, let us leave. So they, the disciples leave the room. And a couple of things, which I've heard scholars say two different things could have happened here, which are fascinating to me. To me, I think it's the latter of what I'm about to describe.
Yeah.
But Jesus and his disciples leave the upper room. And one, I've heard a scholar say that it's quite possible they went through a gate that had a bronze archway, or is it golden archway, that was made and inscribed and forged with grapevines in it, which I think is a cool thought to think about. Either way, with either of these things happening, whether this is what happened or not, Jesus uses his surroundings yet again for, you know, plentieth of time to describe something that he's talking about, which I think is awesome. And it meets them where they're at. So they either walk out through an archway where they stop and Jesus paints this picture, or what I think is probably more likely is they're walking outside the city and they're just going through vineyards.
Kidron Valley.
Yeah.
The Kidron Valley had vineyards. It still has, because you want grapevines that you're going to harvest wine from to be not on level soil, because you don't want water pooling.
You want drainage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I think is happening. And when I talk about this with high schoolers, what I'll say is like, hey, when you, if you go on a drive, when we drive to Chicago, what do we pass? Miles and miles of, and the answer is corn. Because it grows well.
And soy.
Yeah. Soybeans and corn, they grow really well in the climate that we live in. And the best soil in America is across the Midwest, where the plains are. And through Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, all the way through there, there's just, that's the best soil to grow that stuff in. And that would have been the case, for these folks. They would have been around grapevines everywhere.
Yeah,
it grows well. Still to this day, there's wine regions in Israel, and all along the Mediterranean, because that's the best places to grow it in the world by a lot of standards. But so I think what happened is they walked out of the city gates and they walked through the Kidron Valley, and there was vineyards everywhere, just like we established. And like I said before, Jesus was great at using his surroundings and using things that were very visual, more so than what we realized, because this was a medium that we read, and there's no drawings or paintings that, or photos that go back 2,000 years. But I think it's quite obvious multiple times that Jesus uses something nearby to explain something, whether that is the fig tree.
Yep.
He talks about it wouldn't shock me if he's describing the kingdom of God, if he uses a mustard seed and a mustard tree, if there's one nearby, or the birds perching in his branches.
Yeah.
All these things. Like, I think it's just obvious that he is near these things and using them as examples. And I think that's what happens here. So
you can say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea.
There you go. All right. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is if you've grown up in church, you've heard this. If you have not grown up in church and you've known anything about Jesus, you've probably heard this as some words that he's uttered. They're some of his most famous lines. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I love this. People who know me know that since 2019, whatever house I've lived in, I have had grapevines.
That's right.
I've planted them. I have taken care of them. And this is such a clear image in my head.
Sweet Titus, just let your muscadines go to seed.
Yeah, and they got dug up. They're gonzo. I have yet to see fruit because I've not lived at a house long enough with these to... Which is hilarious. I just plant a vineyard and a leaf, and then people don't know what to do with it. But this is such a clear image to me. And one of my favorite things, you went through a season of this as well, but there's some really good vintner documentaries on Netflix and online, right? And one of my favorite things are to watch those. And some of the best ones are the ones there's A Year in Burgundy. Is that one of the ones I'm thinking of? And
yes.
And this is fantastic because what it does is they film a documentary in all four growing seasons. That's and right. Production of wine. So if you ever wanted, like, if you're like, man, this is cool, I like what Jesus is saying, I can kind of track with it. If you wanted to get a really detailed picture of what he's talking about, that's what I would do. I would watch that video. I would watch that 45 or hour and a half long documentary and just think about it from this perspective. Because what he's describing here is something that if you have a knowledge at all of viticulture, which does not have to be great, but just a little bit, you understand that he's painting some really clear images that they would have understood. If you were to go right now to Bordeaux or Burgundy or Tuscany, anywhere in the Mediterranean climate, even in Napa right now, in my backyard right now, anywhere that is on in the northern hemisphere growing grapes, okay? Like if you went to Argentina, you'd have a different time because it is fall there right now, so this is different. But if you were to go to a wine region in France, if you were to go to Bordeaux, you would see a bunch of rows of lines and then a really thick trunk that is about 14 to 16 inches high, with one small branch going off to the right that's probably 2 to 3 inches long. That's it. That's what you would see.
Yeah.
What else you would see is smoldering throughout the fields, little fires burning. Mm. That's because every year after the harvest, they come through and from basically late November all the way, because these things are huge. There's thousands of acres of these things. All the way from November through late into winter, they prune these branches to be exactly what they want them to be. And what they want them to be, especially in France right now, this is really cool. This is something that even made this a little bit like deeper for me. Because if you went in my backyard, you would see two branches running off. I do. Yeah. Muscadines are a little bit different. I do them a little bit differently, but you see things going in two different directions. Because what is the whole goal of a grapevine?
Fruit.
Fruit.
Which you want fruit.
You want fruit, and you want the best, richest, most delectable fruit as possible.
Juice it up, baby.
Yeah, so these guys are walking through this at this time of year in Israel. We know that it's this time of year because we're right before the cross, and this is right at Passover, which we're, I think, right now.
I haven't put that together before.
Yeah. So it would have been
before the spring new growth.
It would have been a full moon.
Yep, full moon and
Passover. So you're walking through a valley. Like think about this in Palestine at the time. You got no light pollution. The stars are bright.
Yeah.
The moon is extremely bright. So it's not daytime, but like if you have ever been,
you can see fine.
Yeah, if you've ever been somewhere with no light pollution and it's a full moon with a lot of stars, your eyes adjust. Dude, I'm taking forever. I'm sorry. And you can see things extremely well. Yeah. And on top of that, there's going to be smoldering fires throughout the field because what happens is they make piles of these branches and then they just burn them. Part of the reason is because the ash adds nutrients to the soil. Nice. Part of it is because it's just an easy way to get rid of the waste.
Yeah.
Part of it is to keep things from freezing and frosting, which is pretty cool. Nice. But this would have been Jesus like taking everything around him and saying, here, this is what's happening. And the reason why a good winemaker is going to do this is because he or she wants the best fruit possible. They want to trim off everything that is not going to produce the best fruit.
So that the nutrients go straight to the new growth.
Yeah, right. So it goes straight to the new growth. And even though, like, but here's what's even, it's they would have known this too. Let's say July rolls around. You're starting to get, you've got big, thick leaves. You're actually starting to get fruit because the flowers have turned into fruit. They're a little bit smaller. But on top of that, you're going to have little runners that have no fruit on them. They look fine. They're good growth. They're leafy. They're green. They're pretty. But you got to go. You don't have fruit on it. Your goal is to have fruit, and you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I was fascinated when I watched this video. It was probably a few weeks ago of it, you can't. This is amazing. Like if you want to hear someone talk about pruning their vines, you're gonna find all these videos by Americans. Because they think they need to share their wealth of knowledge with the world. They've been doing it for so long. They're so good at
50 years.
You can't really find anything at all from people in the Mediterranean climates who have been doing it for decades and hundreds of years. Because they don't care. And they have these things that they just get passed down by word of mouth through families. You know, it's generation after generation of people who own the same property. And they've been working on the same vines for hundreds of years. There are some grapevines that are hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Well, the guy that runs Hermitage right outside of Paris is the 16th generation. The hill was given to his ancestor by the Queen of England in the Crusades because of his heroism.
It's wild, yeah. But if you were to go to Bordeaux right now, you would see, like I said, a 14-inch trunk and one limb that goes off, which I think is so cool because, you know, and I don't know this what they did in Palestine at the time, but it's just fascinating to think about, like, on a personal level between Jesus and each one of his disciples. He's just talking about, like, hey, I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that does not bear fruit. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And, he says plural, so probably there's a couple going off. But I just was thinking about how awesome, like, just how personal that is. I was just thinking about in perspective with a French vineyard right now. There's the main vine, the trunk, and there's one branch coming off.
Yeah.
And it is nothing without that source. And its whole job is to produce fruit. Yeah. And sometimes there's going to be something that, like, it may look leafy and green, but it needs to go. Sometimes there's things that look leafy and green, but they have a disease and they have to go because the whole thing could get spoiled by it.
Yeah.
But there's a gardener at work who knows what he's doing. If you walked in my backyard right now and you told me, hey, T, this one looks funky, you should probably fertilize it, I would say no. And it's not because you don't know what you're talking about, but it's because I know them better than anybody else.
Yeah,
the three grapevines in my backyard, I know better than anybody else. I know which ones did the best last year. I know which ones need a little bit extra help. I know which one... That one in particular that I'm talking about that does look a little bit funky. I know that it is going to make it this year, but I'm not going to really help it because I need it to work really hard to get there.
Yeah.
I know that the one on the top of the hill did a lot better than the other two, and I'm going to prune it differently this year because I want it to have the best fruit of all of them. And it's just like,
of course.
I know them super well. If somebody tried to give me input on it, I would be like, dude, chill. You don't know what you're talking about. These are my grapevines. I know them extremely well. And I just have been thinking about how personal it is, how difficult it is. Mm. But at the end of the day, the goal is just the tastiest, sweetest fruit to make the best wine. Yeah. And that is what the Lord is doing in my life. And I love that this is like the last night. And he's saying, hey, if I'm going to leave you with something, you will never see a grapevine again without thinking about me.
Yeah.
All of his disciples. They would, which means basically the rest of their years. Every day for the rest of their life, they were set up to think about the Lord because they were covered. There were acres and acres and acres and miles of this stuff.
And also just the, like, if Jesus says something, if he uses one word 11 times in 10 verses,
remain,
you're like,
abide. Okay,
this is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a word that means stay.
Chill.
Stay.
Yeah.
Stay. Stay with me. Stay connected to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
We're making something awesome,
yeah.
But you can't do it. You have to be connected to me. And I mean, it's like, when can you think of any other place where he used one word 11 times in, if you were to read it out loud, it would probably take you 20 seconds to read it.
Yeah.
In 20 seconds, one word happens 11 times.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's wild.
Okay. It is, we are going to, you know, we are about to go through Good Friday, and I've been thinking a lot about the death of Jesus, and I've just been deep in it this week. But what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about the crowning of Jesus. I want to talk about, you know, because he rises from the dead, but then there's still a coronation day that hasn't happened. And I want to talk about the coronation day. So let's go to Psalm 2, because as we do this podcast, I want to get through the crucifixion and the resurrection and the age of the church all the way to the end.
Okay,
so Psalm 2 is like incredible trash talk. That's what, if you want to know what Psalm 2 is, it is just high level trash talk. It says, this is the NIV, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain?" I mean, it just even starts as trash talk. It's like, it sounds like a Stephen A. Smith thing. Tell me something.
Why do the Lakers?
Exactly. It's like, wait, why do these teams think they're so great? Why do these nations think they're something? Okay, so why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? "The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed." Anointed is like the chosen one, the picked one. "Saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs." Dang. "The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." And you're like, okay, so Jesus has been picked as God's chosen king, and God is saying, I'm going to give you the whole world and all the countries. What do you want to do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about, you know, little, like, America and Honduras and Greece and, you know, France and Belgium and Canada and, you know, South Korea? And what are you going to do with the name? They're all yours, Jesus. You get them all. What are you going to do with them? It says, "You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery.
Mm.
Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." This is just
wild.
This is the smack talk of all smack talk.
Yes.
It's just like, hey, everybody that loves the phrase country first, go ahead. You can love that, but don't also claim to love the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't work very well.
I'm just going to double down on that. If what you love is country first, that's totally fine. That's your prerogative. You have your own will, but you don't also love the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't there currently a production of Bible that is going to have the Constitution and all that stuff also imprinted in it?
Yeah, and it has the American flag embossed on the leather on the front of it. It's like, you might as well put leather chaps on the Bible. It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, but also it's like,
you're going to put the Constitution in the Bible?
Yeah, it's But it's that thing our buddy Matt says, you know, like, yes, it's that book that you love so much.
I don't think you love that book.
You don't love it that much because you read these words.
Yeah, what is that book you say you love so much? That's book, what it
yeah,
is.
you can't squint your way around that and no. think like, well, it could be saying this.
Yes.
It's not. It's saying very clearly what it's saying. Good luck. I'm reading this and I'm thinking to myself, like, what would it look like to live in a world? We don't know. But like, what would it look like to live in a world where people live this out? Where rulers live this out, where yeah. we're king, and like, frankly, there's not a ton of example of that in history, even biblical history. I've been reading through 2 Samuel, and like, David gets close, and you know, and he's considered a man after God's own heart, which I think is fascinating because he's still a massive mess.
Yeah, he beefs it like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just doesn't go well for him, you know? Like, once it starts going downhill for him, it goes downhill quick. And, golly, it's just...
Well, it's just like the weaknesses that... It's like people just have some, you know... Jack and I are watching this action TV show right now that's called The Brothers Sun, and it's like this... Anyway, it's this, like, kung fu action series. And the main character is this dude that's like... He's like the most hardcore guy ever. Mm. But he has like a kryptonite weakness, which is churros.
That's fantastic.
It's just like, you can just take
him. Hey, me
like,
too, brother.
You can just take him out.
Give me all the churros.
But it's just like, David, it's like, David, oh, you're so amazing. And then you just fall apart.
Yeah.
When you, like, just sex. He just falls apart because of sex. Yeah. You know, it's just total kryptonite. Mm-hmm. Disaster. But yeah, I mean, this psalm is always recentering for me because it's like whatever is going on in this world and however ridiculous it is and however loud and boisterous people are, even as we go into Good Friday and we remember the humiliation and the difficulty and the pain that our Lord suffered, it's like, hey, all of this is just a temporary thing waiting on a day where he is going to be crowned king of the universe.
Yeah.
And no one will be able to gainsay any of it.
That's right.
He's just going to... He's going to dash the nations like pottery. There will be no more country flags.
Yeah.
Those will not be emojis in your phone anymore.
Right, right, right.
They will not exist.
That's hilarious.
We will not take American history any
right,
longer.
Right.
I'm sorry. We won't.
Yeah.
There will be no American history.
No.
It's going to be over.
No.
Man. He's going to be crowned. And... Man, it's like the old hymn we used to sing in the Baptist church, crown him with many crowns.
Yeah, they're going to put the Lee Greenwood lyrics in that Bible. I saw that.
Dude.
God bless the USA.
I can't think about this Bible any longer.
Does it, like, I just can't understand how people don't hear that and they, like, to me, immediately, the Holy Spirit is like, nope, 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 get away, run away, run away. Not that I would ever think about it, but I'm just, like, he's just like, get out of there, bro. That is not the move.
Don't. It was like the thing that Tom Jobs said when he went to the Grand Canyon and they charged him $15, and he was like, "How are you charging me to see the Grand? You didn't make this,
right? No, yeah.
how am I paying you?
Yeah.
Oh man, I just had a bird land on a branch of my dogwood tree, and I'm just seeing the tiny little beginnings of the blossoms. They're beautiful.
Blessings.
It's gonna be a good year.
Oh yeah. God.
Hey. Listen, thanks for joining us on this podcast. Go Vols. It feels good to love your basketball coach.
It does.
It's really cool just to have a coach that you trust, that like...
He's kind.
He vaults the players. You know, he amplifies the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he never...
He takes it on the chin when he messes up.
Yeah, when he screws up, he takes it on the chin. He sits in a press conference like an adult.
Yeah, he doesn't call. Takes it on the chin. Yeah, no.
No.
He does it.
No, he does what he's contractually supposed to do, but also has the integrity of a man to do what he's supposed to
do. And he doesn't do it for $10 million.
No, he doesn't.
Does it for significantly less than that.
Man, Rick. Cheers, Rick.
Cheers.
Good luck.
Go Vols.
Good luck this week. Go Vols.
Yeah. I'm praying for you, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
I can ask for whatever I want.
Yes. And what I want is for Zakai to go off.
I do too.
And JJJ.
And I want DK to go out there and put the hammer down and people to say, oh, no, Zach Edey doesn't need this thing again. It needs to go to DK.
Yeah.
This is the player of the year.
Crown him player of the year.
Guys, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
When I needed rescue out of deep, deep waters, there you were. When I called out to you after running farther, there you were. You're in front of me, you're behind.